Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And we are back with the Mediocrity Podcast. Woohoo! Episode 39. I'm so excited. I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Jonathan Atterbury. What's up, man?
What is up?
I got real excited there. I really did. Don't know why.
I'm feeding off of that excitement. It's good. I like it.
Oh, good. How's everything with you?
Everything's grand, my friend. I can't complain.
Did you do something for your mother for Mother's Day?
Yeah, I went over. My family lives a couple hours away, so I drove out there and spent the day hanging out with her and doing all that stuff. It was fun.
Good. What's the latest on the book?
The book's coming along. I'm into chapter 4 now, something like that, or the first draft of chapter 4, that is. And it's coming along, so getting there.
Is this day by day. Is chapter 4 about mediocrity?
No, it's about you.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited. what about me?
Specifically your hair.
Oh, good.
Just an entire chapter about your hair.
Which hair specifically? All the hair? Or sectionally?
More like the hair on his head. I don't think there's enough words in the book to write about all of the hair on his body.
It's magical.
Yeah, it'd be too long of a book, for sure.
Well, how many chapters are in the Adirillian here?
I don't really know. I'm going for a specific word count more than the chapter count.
Okay.
69 words?
Yeah, exactly. It's really just a prose poem on Brian Kluger's hair.
I'm so excited. All right.
I challenge you to shorten it to a haiku.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love it. Bringing in the comedy stylings, Jeremy Mager. What's up, man?
Hey, man.
How was your weekend?
It was good, bud.
Yeah? Do anything fun?
Yeah, just went and hung out with my mom, hung out with my little sister and my niece, and that was pretty rad.
Oh, yeah, because little sister now is a mom as well. That's right.
This is her first Mother's Day.
Well done. That's awesome. That is very cool. And how's the comic stuff coming along?
It's good, man. I'm just getting ready for Heroes Con 1 month from today. I will be on my way flying out to North Carolina.
Well, flying to North Carolina, going to do Heroes Con. You got a table. You're going to be selling and signing and doing some art pieces for people.
That's correct.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, hopefully we could do a live satellite show from there. That'd be awesome. You'll have to give us updates as more information comes along.
I will do that.
But we are Mediocrity, where the show is just okay. We're part of the Multimedia Men brand, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. It's a good time. Just go subscribe to us. Subscribe. Multimedia Men. You'll get Mediocrity on there, and it's a good show. Well, it's an okay show, but we have
Let's not oversell it.
I think it just depends. What we really need to know is the difference in key between John's intro song and then Kluger's follow-up intro singing.
It's true.
I'm just kind of wondering about, I'm sure there's a key change there. I'm just wondering what it actually is.
I'm always off with pitch, so I always want to sound like I'm singing the Mediocrity Podcast in Life theme song. But we'll get there one day, I guess. But anyway, we're moving on with the show. We got a lot to talk about today. Let's talk about some sad news, unfortunately. The actor Powers Booth died yesterday. He was an awesome actor. He was in movies like Frailty and Sin City and Deadwood and The Emerald Forest. I like this guy. This guy was awesome. Are you all familiar with his work?
I am.
Indeed.
Yeah. What's some of your favorite stuff that he did?
I'm going to go
Sin City.
Yeah, me too. He was absolutely perfect, man. He fit into that kind of dark, grimy world just fantastically.
And he was also, he also did some Justice League stuff, right?
Avengers.
Yeah, because he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he also was the what's it called? The voice of Gorilla Grodd in Justice League.
Oh, your animated series. Yeah, yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So that was cool. And he was the president in 24 in the first season of Kiefer Sutherland. I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff. But yeah,
he's the guy that launched the nuke in Avengers that Iron Man threw into the space butthole.
That is very true. That was him. He big comic book guy. But yeah, I think he's mostly known for maybe Sin City and Deadwood, I would imagine. But yeah, he died yesterday, and he was born in 1948. He was 68 years old. Unfortunate, and we will miss, but you can celebrate him and watch all of his movies. Oh, we forget one of the biggest movies, Tombstone. He was in Tombstone. He was awesome in Tombstone. He had that famous line, well, bye. So good. I loved it. but yeah, Powers Booth is good. But let's move on from that. We got way more to talk about. Let's talk about Deadpool. We like to talk about Deadpool. I think Jonathan Atterbury has devoted his life and religion and faith to Deadpool. So, I mean, I think Jeremy would back me up on that, right?
That's reasonable.
That's reasonable, yeah. So news came out that Deadpool is going to get an animated TV series on FXX with creator Donald Glover. You know him from Atlanta and Girls and all sorts of other stuff. He's Childish Gambino. So it's very interesting. So being a Deadpool fanatic, Mr. Atterbury, are you excited about more Deadpool?
Of course I am. It's going to be R-rated. It's going to be awesome.
It's gonna be awesome.
I'm ready for it.
So are you so I mean, we're definitely getting another movie, but we're getting this animated television show. So do you think, I mean, do you want Ryan Reynolds to voice him, or what do you think about, like, you know, changing storylines maybe or timelines and having different cast or whatever? What do you think about this?
I think it's going to be its own universe. It has, well, not its own universe, but its own thing. It has to be a reboot. I don't think it needs to be a continuation of what we saw in the movie. I would rather explore the other aspects of the character. And I'd be fine. I mean, it'd be cool if Ryan Reynolds did the voice, but if not, I mean, I think Nolan North would do a great job. He's done a great job in plenty of the video games. So
he's done the video games, and I think almost every. I think he actually have done almost every single animated version of Deadpool.
Yeah, so I'd be completely okay with Nolan North doing the voice for him in this series. But, I think as long as they keep the same spirit that the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool movie had, which is obviously needs to be over the top and not taking itself seriously in any way, then it's going to be fun.
All right. It would be awesome if they did the breaking the fourth wall in the movie and in the animated show as if they acknowledged one another.
I would be surprised if they don't do that, especially yeah. In the cartoon. Maybe not in the movie, but the cartoon anyways.
Yeah, I'm curious if that's gonna happen. But yeah, I know I'm looking forward to it. I mean, FXX, you know, they do Always Sunny and Archer and all sorts of really great comedy shows. The League.
And Archer is so good. One of the best cartoons ever made.
Yeah, so, I mean, can you imagine Deadpool like an Archer show? I mean,
that sounds perfect.
It does sound perfect. Now, what do you think? So what do you want, like, the animation style to be? Do you want it, like, more like a 90s X-Men cartoon type of feel or like an Archer type of feel or something completely different? What do you think will work best with this character?
Well, I love the idea of it being an X-Men's old X-Men, the animated series style vibe. Hold on one second. I got to kill my dogs.
No, they're excited about Deadpool. They are. They're so excited about Deadpool.
But yeah, I mean, so I love that idea. I hadn't even thought about that, but I'm open to any style, really. The only thing I think I wouldn't like is if it was too anime looking. You know what I mean?
So too anime. What about like a Pixar, like CG type of thing?
No, I wouldn't like that either. That would just be too weird. I would not be happy if it was full CG.
Okay.
I want it to be hand-drawn.
All right. Jeremy, what are your thoughts being the comic book creator and artiste?
Man, I don't think you can do a 90s-style cartoon and it still work. It would be cool, but I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it would sell. I think it's got to be... I think, like, the closest you can get away with it is, like, Archer is still done digitally, even though it looks like a hand-drawn style. And the same thing for, like, the new Voltron series, even though that's a little more, you know, Japanese-looking. I think it's still got to look American, but I think probably kind of along the more modern look of what Archer is probably what you're going to have.
Yeah.
And, hey, you can give me an Archer-Deadpool crossover, and I'll be happy.
Oh, my God. I don't know what I would do. H. John Benjamin voices both Archer and Deadpool. Oh, that would be funny. Oh, my goodness.
I can't imagine our H. John Benjamin doing Deadpool. That just sounds too weird.
It does, doesn't it?
It does sound weird.
Well, I'm excited to see that. So, speaking more about that, what do you think about Donald Glover taking the role of this? I mean, obviously, he sounds like he's a huge fan of at least Deadpool alone, but I don't know what his comic book history is.
Is he playing producer, or what's he doing for this?
I think he's like showrunner creating it, so I don't know if he's going to have like big roles as far as, you know, on the front side of the camera as far as voice acting or writing, but I would imagine he might show run, or even if it's an animated show, he might even write and direct the first episode. I'm not sure.
Well, it's hard to say because I don't think I've ever seen any movie or TV shows that he's created. So, you know, he's a great actor and he's a great musician, but I have no idea if he makes good TV or not.
Yeah, me neither. And I guess what's also pretty cool about this little animated show coming out that Jeff Loeb and Jim Chorey are going to be executive producers, which they're comic book guys, right?
Yeah, Jeff Loeb is longtime comic book guy, and he's pretty much in charge of anything Marvel that's not on a movie screen.
Okay.
So he's overall in charge of like all of your TV shows, Netflix stuff, cartoons. You know, he kind of keeps an eye on it and makes sure everything's legit. I mean, I think it's going to be cool as long as they're, you know, consistent with the source material, like the movie is, I mean, it should be pretty good.
That will be pretty cool.
It's hard to go wrong with that material.
I know.
Unless you Wolverine Origins it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not, FXX is not going to do that.
Oh, man, I would love a laser eyes joke. That would be so hilarious.
And with this, so do you want it to be completely separate from the film, or do you think it should start out with another origin story, or do you think it'll kind of be like the smaller events that take place between movies?
I don't really care.
Separate from the film.
Okay.
For me.
All right.
I don't want the movie to have to be like, oh, what did they do in the cartoon that we have to keep up with?
Yeah. No. We'll see what happens. I mean, the FXX is so into this project that they have given it already a 10-episode first season order, which is more or less unheard of. Usually you do a pilot and then you decide on the pilot, but this already has a first season, so that's pretty cool. I'm excited for it. And we'll fill you in when we get that stuff. But besides Nolan North or Ryan Reynolds, who do you want to voice Deadpool besides those two?
Nolan North's pretty much it for me.
That's it.
I think Matthew Perry would be awesome.
Like from Friends?
Yeah.
You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. All right. Well, we'll see. Hopefully casting news for everybody involved in the show will come out in the next few weeks, and we can talk about that and how good or not good it is. But let's move on to our next topic. Well, speaking of Deadpool, what about we know the movie's coming out of Deadpool in, you know, a year or two, and Ryan Reynolds in the first film told us that Cable was going to be in the next film, and there's been a lot of speculation on who Cable is going to be. But Jeremy, tell us who Cable is going to be played by.
It's going to be played by Josh Brolin,
which is, I mean, I love Josh Brolin. That dude's like everywhere now, and he's going to be in both all sorts of Marvel movies now. And he's been in a lot of comic book stuff now. But what do you think of that? I mean, first it was, I think there was like a Russell Crowe rumor that was going around that he would play Cable. But do you like Josh Brolin?
Yeah, man, I'm down. I think he does intense very well and serious very well. So I think it'll play great against Ryan Reynolds doing the Deadpool thing.
All right. What about you, Atterbury?
I'm a Josh Brolin fan, I would say. I loved him in Sicario, man. That movie was so good.
The movie was. He's good in everything. I mean,
yeah, he was great in that. And of course, No Country for Old Men is outrageous.
The Goonies?
The Goonies.
He played George W. Bush. He was also in a comic book movie, Jonah Hex. Remember that movie? That was Josh Brolin.
And wasn't he in Sin City also?
He was definitely. Well, he was in Sin City 2, I believe. He replaced Clive Owen's character.
He's Thanos.
Yeah, and he's Thanos, which I think when the news came out that Josh Brolin was playing Cable, they were like, what? How can this happen? Why is he playing, why is he playing two things? And you're just kind of like, well, didn't Chris Evans play Human Torch and Captain America? Isn't that the same guy? Right.
Plus, Thanos is only going to probably be around for one movie. Cable, there's a good chance that he'll be in, he could be in two or three Deadpool movies.
No. Yeah. But yeah, Josh Brolin. We're happy about that. Josh Brolin and Ryan Reynolds. That's going to be a fun movie to watch.
Oh, plus if they make an X-Force movie, he'll be in all of the X-Force movies as well, too.
Oh, man.
You could actually end up seeing him in Deadpool, multiple Deadpool movies, X-Force movies, and I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in an X-Men movie also. You could have Josh Brolin Cable in all of those.
And I guess we're all fine with that. I mean, we all like Josh Brolin. The more Josh Brolin, the better.
So, sure.
Sure. Atterbury, like, you seem very, very, you seem to have a lot on your mind right now. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm good.
You're okay? He's
digesting that sandwich. Leave him alone.
Okay. I know, man. I'm sitting here just trying to think of what I can time my next bite.
Oh, you should have scarfed it down in one bite. I know you could do it. You have those muscular jaws of yours.
That's how it works.
Okay, so we've talked about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 on this podcast a few times, but we all have now finally seen it, and we got to ask, because Jeremy and I saw it, and now Atterbury finally watched the movie.
So now we can go full spoiler.
So yeah, Atterbury, tell us, what did you think?
I think it was the best movie that I've seen all year so far, man.
Whoa.
Totally. But yeah, it was fantastic. It was everything I hoped it would be, and then some.
Did we hype it too much?
No, not at all. I mean, it, like I said, it was everything I hoped it would be, and then some more on top of that.
So tell us about your favorite scenes. Tell us about the music. Tell us what you liked. Is there anything you didn't like about it?
No, I liked everything, man. I watched that movie, and I went out thinking that was a perfect movie. It hit all the notes. Everything about, got all the different emotions. It's got the incredible action. It's got the over-the-top comedy. It's got the incredible, exciting visuals and the music. But it's also touching and tender in some moments, which is really hard to balance, great action, hilarious comedy and also getting you choked up in other moments.
I was going to ask if Jeremy or you got choked up in any scene in that movie.
I did, but Jeremy doesn't feel things, so that's I don't right. think he did.
It's not horror movies. I got choked up in that movie just like I got choked up in Logan.
Oh, yeah. All right. So
it was mainly when Kurt Russell was talking about his penis, though.
Oh, my God.
That was just like, oh.
We finally got it. We finally have this on film forever. And it's a kid's film.
My favorite scene in the whole movie, Jeremy and I were talking about this the other day. This isn't really a spoiler, so I'm not going to say spoiler alert, but whatever. Peter Quill, when he was getting his ass kicked by the bad guy, and he has that moment where he has to remember all of the good things, right? So he's kind of up on that spike and he's thinking about all the good shit. And the moment that the Fleetwood Mac song, The Chain, starts playing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was the best use of any song in any movie ever. It was so perfect. As soon as it started playing, it was just like immediate goosebumps. I was just so into it. I was like, oh, my God, I can't imagine using a better song like that.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked the music because I really liked it. I thought pacing was a little slow here and there. That was like my only like minor gripe about it, really. But overall,
I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like it was actually like really quick paced and not boring at all.
Well, all right.
Yeah, see, I agree because I liked it that, I mean, you really got pretty far into the movie before they actually revealed, you know, who the bad guy was in the movie. It wasn't like where you watch the first one and they show you Ronan and then you're just kind of sitting around waiting, you know, for them to fight, you know, fight the bad guy. And so it was just kind of like a ton of really great story and character development. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah. And then here's the bad guy.
Yeah. No, that was one of the reveals is, you know, who the actual bad guy is. And I mean, they played it perfectly. I just thought there was some slower pacing here and there when they were, like, discovering worlds or whatever. But every character's interaction and relationship just transformed into something really cool.
And Drax is my favorite character in the movie.
He had a lot of really good comedic stuff there. It was so funny.
So good. And the laughter that he gets for that character is so hilarious. And then I also have to tell you guys that something really awesome happened. My parents went and took my niece to go, who's like 3 years old, 4 years old, to go see, I don't know how old my niece is. I'm awful. But they took her to go see Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And afterwards, they asked her, who was your favorite character? And she said Peter Quill was her favorite character. And they said, well, why is he your favorite character? And she said, well, it's because he reminds me of Uncle John, and that would be me. So I was totally stoked, and she just earned herself excellent presents for the rest of her life.
Jeremy, do we agree with this? Do we think that John is like Star-Lord?
Well, you know, I look at it this way. Sometimes kids say shit that doesn't make sense. But, you know.
Well, I agree with you.
Could this be one of those times? I don't know.
If I had a spaceship, you wouldn't want to turn the black light on in there. I'll just say it that way.
I don't get it. What do you mean? Spell it out.
You know what I mean, you silly bastard.
Well, good. I'm glad we all like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Jeremy, have you seen it more than once yet?
I have not seen it more than once. I want to. When I left the theater, I wanted to watch it all over again.
All right. We'll have to go do a date and go watch it again.
Did you have a favorite scene, Kluger?
Everything with Yondu, I loved. Every scene with Yondu, I loved. And the opening scene to that where they focus on Baby Groot dancing, and that Baby Groot was just completely full of himself and couldn't be bothered while everybody was like dying in space and battling. That was just perfect. I love that. I thought that was a good way to intro everything.
All the Baby Groot stuff was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, it was, those were my two, Yondu is just an awesome character, but yeah, I like that first scene was really good. So yes. Any agree with me or don't agree with me? Tell me, but, Sylvester Stallone character could have been replaced by literally anybody else.
I don't know about literally anybody else, but a lot of other people.
I mean, it looks like he's going to be in future films, but I mean, why Sylvester Stallone? Like, I don't get it.
You mean why one of the greatest actors of our time?
Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. You guys, Kluger, you can't tell me you weren't waiting for the Tango and Cash reunion and then you were sad when you didn't get it.
I went in there hoping to hear a theme song or something, but there really wasn't anything. So, yeah, Tango and Cash. Mm. That's one movie we need to have a whole podcast devoted to on this show.
I have never seen that movie.
John Atterbury, please go rent Tango and Cash and watch it. It's so good. So good. All right, let's move on from Guardians. I know y'all haven't seen this movie yet because it doesn't come out until Friday, but I saw Alien Covenant. And I really enjoyed it. So do y'all have questions for me about it? Are y'all Alien fans? What's going on?
I'm big time. Yeah, I'm super excited to see the movie.
Okay.
How did this one compare to Prometheus?
I think it's way better than Prometheus.
Okay, because I loved Prometheus, actually. I know that movie caught a lot of flack and was kind of shat upon by the general audience, but I thought it was fantastic.
I think there were moments of Prometheus that I liked, but overall, I think Prometheus was kind of lackluster. This one is really good. It takes place, you know, a while after Prometheus, and how do we say it? It really furthers a story in between Prometheus and the first Alien. There's a lot of questions that go answered that were not answered in Prometheus, and the alien scenes are really cool because what Alien Covenant does, you know, because we're used to seeing the face huggers and like the alien
xenomorph,
the black slimy alien creature that runs around. Here we get to see that, you know, in Prometheus there was like this virus that went around that infected everything, right? Everything it touched that turned them into different monsters. Here we get to see a lot of versions of those monsters in different forms, not necessarily the alien that we're used to.
And I had a question.
They're terrifying. James Franco's in the movie and Danny McBride's in the movie. So those were fun characters and actors to watch in an alien film for sure. There are some parts in the film that they should have shaved 15 minutes off because it's about 2.5 hours. However, it's a good one. Like, they are on the road. They are – hopefully there's two more films like this before they catch up to Aliens. So I'm super psyched about it.
How gory was it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, eight.
We need to define that scale. What is a 10 for gore?
Dead alive.
Yeah, dead alive.
Okay. That's gore. No, it's a solid like 7. Because okay. I mean, it's not happening all the time, but when attacks happen, there are some pretty gruesome scenes and you're just like, "Yeah!" So, but yeah, it answers questions from Prometheus. It sets up for future films. I mean, I think you'll like it. And if you love the Alien franchise, even Prometheus or Alien 4 Resurrection, you're going to love this one. Because I think where this falls in is, you know, Alien, Aliens. I love Alien 3 and then Alien Covenant. And then it goes Prometheus, then Alien 4 Resurrection. For me, my little scale there. But I liked it. I really did.
So is it the same Michael Fassbender robot or a different one?
So that's part of the story because there's two. So, you know, there's droids everywhere, robots. So Michael Fassbender does come back, or you do see, I think his name was David in Prometheus, Michael Fassbender. But there is an upgraded version of him, and he's definitely different. He has a different accent. He's different. So the two come face to face quite a bit through the movie. And it's it might be Oscar worthy, but however, I doubt he'll ever win it for it.
Does he have like the accent of the French chef from The Little Mermaid?
Oh God, I wish. No,
that's really what I'm hoping for.
No, it's just an American accent for the new one.
That's disappointing.
His British one, but yeah, no, you're gonna. I think you're gonna like it, but yeah, Fassbender is probably the best part or best role in the film because he's so integral and key to everything. And of course, you're gonna get all the good alien stuff and gore and very suspenseful moments. You know, a lot of enclosed spaces or people running down like hallways, and there's like, oh God, there's aliens around. You know, it's pretty cool.
So sounds excellent. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm excited for y'all to see it. I can't wait to discuss it with y'all. So, yeah, very cool. Let's move on. What else do we have on the docket today? Oh, yes. Let's talk about retro gaming because, Jeremy and Atterbury definitely play more video games than I do. But I also fancy myself more or less a gamer. Speaking of, before we jump into that, I think I sent the Leroy Jenkins video out. Did Jeremy watch it?
But he watched it about 2 weeks earlier when I sent it to him.
Oh, well, yeah. Damn it.
Well, John sent it to me right away.
Oh. Well.
You know, after we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
My mind goes elsewhere. Did you like that video?
Yeah.
It's so good.
John and I talked about it. It was a very Shankmeister thing to do, although I will say that the Shankmeister executes at a higher level of skill than Leroy Jenkins.
It is a very Shankmeister thing. Y'all ready to do this? Do this.
Except mine's usually not on accident, so we can't blame it on that.
That's really funny. But retro gaming, you know, you, Jeremy, myself, and Atterbury all grew up. Well, Jeremy and I kind of grew up in the 80s. How old are you, Atterbury?
I am 30.
You're 30. So we're same thing. We all grew up in a time where pre-Xbox, you know, before Xbox or PlayStation 2 or even something like that, there were other video game consoles. And, you know, a lot of them were side-scrolling 8-bit or 16-bit or something like that. So let's talk about our love of retro gaming. Do you sometimes prefer that nowadays, even in lieu of, you know, the crazy graphics or worlds that are in video games now?
Absolutely. I love the retro games still. And there are times when I just want to play Mario. And not even like new fancy Mario or anything like that. I'm on the Switch or whatever. But I just want to play Super Mario Brothers, period. Or I want to play Sonic the Hedgehog or Golden Axe, something along those lines. And as fun as the new incredible AAA titles are, there's something that's lacking from them a lot of the time. And if you go back and play a game like, I don't know, if you want to say Final Fantasy IV or something along those lines, or Castlevania Symphony of the Night, or Super Mario Brothers 3, there's just a level of skill there that, you know, just going from level A to level B is a massive pain in the ass. And when you beat the level, you are stoked. You are excited that you beat the level. Whereas nowadays, video games, you don't really experience that feeling of accomplishment when you beat a game or you beat a level most of the time. The only way you're going to get that nowadays is by playing multiplayer, and then you're just, you know, you get the satisfaction of winning, and that's great. But playing single player, you don't really get a lot of satisfaction from beating a level or a boss unless you're playing something like Dark Souls.
Yeah, that's because games now don't have lives. Like, you have an unlimited number of lives before. I mean, you really do. Like, all games now are made to be beaten fairly easily.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like what? Like, you know, 16-hour play time, but you respawn right when you die. And you usually come back right where you died.
But like a game like Super Mario Brothers, it was such a small game in reality that they had to make it impossibly hard. So you would actually be able to play it for a year or something and maybe never beat it.
I miss that stuff. I do. I miss the cartridges. I miss, you know, even like the scores for games back then are even, I think, significantly better than the scores for games now. Like,
I wouldn't say they're always better. They're better. They're more memorable than a lot of scores are now. But they're not all, they're not uniformly better. You know what I mean? There are some games nowadays that have incredible scores.
Halo is the only one I can think of.
Skyrim?
I haven't played Skyrim.
Okay, yeah. Skyrim and the Elder Scrolls games have just some of the best scores for any game ever.
All right. All right. So with retro gaming, what games do you miss playing the most?
Jeremy?
Oh, man. Well, some of my favorites were probably, and I guess it depends on how far we're going to go back for retro. I mean, I would probably put the first Twisted Metal on PlayStation as a retro game.
I would agree with you. Man, Jeremy and I and his brother Chris used to play that all the time together.
You know that, you know, the original Doom when it first came out, I think on, maybe the first PlayStation. I mean, that was so much fun.
I think Doom actually came out on Nintendo 64. I mean, Super Nintendo, didn't it? Before PlayStation?
I never had the Nintendo. I had the. Okay. I went from having the Segas to the PlayStation.
Gotcha. I can't remember where Doom first was released, but I think it was that there was ports for it on a lot of different systems.
Yeah, and I mean, that was like the first time where, you know, you had the, to me, that was one of the first games where you had, you know, characters you were fighting against that had personality, and so you had it instead of, you know, being stuck on a PC, you could play it in your living room with all the lights off, and as you're exploring the dark rooms, it's like you had monsters making different sounds, and it was a really unique experience, I think, for video games at that time.
It really was. I just want to play those now. Like, I have one of the Dooms, the old series, no, not Dooms, I have the old Wolfenstein game on my Xbox One, which it's still a retro game, but it's on like the new system, and it still has like the old very pixelated graphics where you're just literally walking through the same exact brick stone walls killing
Nazis. That's the exact same game. Well, even in the new Wolfenstein they released, there were areas in the game where you could access an arcade to play the original Wolfenstein.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great. So yeah, no, I miss stuff like that. And you brought up Twisted Metal, man. I mean, that just brings back memories and like even like smells of like ordering pizza over Jeremy's house and like playing Twisted Metal for literally hours on end. Oh, I remember that. You remember that, Jeremy?
I was there. I remember. I was babysitting you.
That's true. That he was. And then we always used to beat Jeremy in Twisted Metal. It was good. Atterbury, what about you? What about some of yours?
Oh, man. So many games. I'll just go ahead and say a blanket answer of any of the retro Star Wars games. I loved each and every one of them, from Empire Strikes Back on NES to the Star Wars trilogy on Super Nintendo. And, you know, if you want to look at X-Wing or TIE Fighter or Dark Forces on PC, those games were incredible. And
I never played any of those games. I think the first Star Wars game I ever played was Knights of the Old Republic.
I'm so sorry for you, man. You missed out on a whole world of awesomeness.
You really need to stop hating Star Wars.
Yeah. Dude, all the Dark Forces games, every single one, I played all of them from front to back, because there was the original one, which was very much like Star Wars version of Wolfenstein or Doom. And then you had the second one, which was starting to use 3D technology, and they're all shooters. Then you had Mysteries of the Sith, where you actually got to play as Mara Jade, which is the only time I think you've ever been able to do that in any Star Wars game. And, you know, it just so much good stuff. And then there was a number of games on PlayStation also that were really great for Star Wars, like Jedi Power Battles. I think I mentioned this one recently, mm-hmm. where you get to choose any of the Jedi Council members and run around two-player just slicing up battle droids. And then there was a really awful Episode 1 movie game that I still loved because I was probably nine.
There was an Obi-Wan Kenobi game that had potential to be interesting, but was really hard and kind of sucky.
But that was on Xbox, right?
Yeah, I assumed it was on multiple. But it was interesting because the way that it worked was one thumbstick moved him around, and your other thumbstick did nothing but control your lightsaber. So in terms of, like, lightsaber control and slashing and blocking, it was the most lightsaber control I think I've ever had on a video game. But it made moving around incredibly difficult because that meant all of the moving was just with your left thumbstick, and you didn't really have a way to, like, look up or look down. It was like you're always just looking forward, and then you had insane lightsaber control but not a lot of mobility.
So all the Star Wars games were my favorites, but I also was a huge fan of the different – a lot of Nintendo 64 stuff, like the Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda. That was a incredible game. 007 GoldenEye on N64. Final Fantasy 7 and 8 on PlayStation. Those were two of my favorite games, easily. And all the Mario stuff on original NES and Super Nintendo. And the X-Men games on Sega. So much good stuff. And Altered Beast, man, we can't forget that one. Where you get to transform into bear or a tiger dude or a werewolf and all these things.
Yeah.
Oh, so many
games. So many good games.
Not to mention Rampage, now being made into a movie.
With The Rock.
The Rock.
Oh, yes. Oh, so many good games.
So many good games, dude. I've got a system, an emulator set up so I can play all these, you know, NES games. Jeremy came over when I was still living in Texas, and you did too. We played together. And it's just so much fun to be able to go back and play those old games. But some of them have not stood the test of time.
Oof.
Like which one?
What was the one that Josie wanted to play, Jeremy, that was awful? It was that stupid sci-fi show she loves.
Stargate?
Stargate, that's the one.
Stargate's awesome. What are you talking about?
Stargate is fucking a travesty, man.
By the way, that's not me saying Stargate was stupid. That was me just simply answering John's question.
Just got to throw out that disclaimer to the world. Yep.
That's funny.
So, yeah, that game has not... A lot of the movie games did not do well.
Yeah, I would mostly agree with that.
Like the Ninja Turtle game, pretty fun.
That was a great one. That's a great arcade game.
All the Turtle games are still great except for the first NES one, which does not hold up super well still.
Yeah. I'd probably have to say... So I'll go with some computer stuff too. I love Space Quest so much. Phantasmagoria. Leisure Shoot Larry.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah. Leisure Suit Larry.
How old were you? Your parents let you play that game? I was not allowed to play that game.
They didn't care. That's why I'm so warped right now that I could have watched or done anything back then. As far as movies and games go and music. They didn't censor me really. In other games, I really loved F-Zero for Super Nintendo. I played that like crazy. F-Zero, and I really loved Pilot Wings, the original Pilot Wings game. And, of course, Contra and the original Friday the 13th, which nobody likes, but I loved that game. Oh, I don't know why.
You like that game? Oh. That game is unplayable, man. That is... horrible.
I loved it because you get to like be on the outside in the cabin, like fight snakes and shit, and then you go into the house and you're like, there's Jason coming. I don't know. I liked it.
I think that game is one notch above the Atari ET game.
I still liked it. They're re-releasing it. I can't wait. And another one, there's Double Switch and what's it called, Night Trap, which we've talked about on the show. Double Switch was kind of the same vein with the live-action performances, but it was with Corey Haim. I really liked that, too. Those were.
Did you ever play the Darkwing Duck NES game that I told you about?
No, I did not. I played DuckTales quite a bit, but other than that, I did not play any of the other ones. Oh, Paperboy. Paperboy was one of my favorite games.
Oh, yeah.
I love
Paperboy is a classic, man. It's hard to beat that one.
It was a... fun game. I remember always getting attacked by dogs and going into curb. Yeah, it sucked.
Loved it. I like Twisted
Metal. That was a hard game, too.
Oh, yeah. I love Twisted Metal, but I didn't ever play that one a whole lot. My sister and I, though, had the Nintendo 64 equivalent of it, which was a game called Vigilante 8. Same idea as Twisted Metal, just vehicular combat. And I also told you guys about the Star Wars vehicular combat there was also called Star Wars Demolition, which I'm sure you could find footage of on YouTube if anyone's interested.
That's funny. Oh, and the one big game that came out long ago, or, you know, back then, what was like huge jump in graphics was Star Fox. He used to play Star Fox all the time.
Star Fox. Man, that game blew my little mind when that came out.
Mine too. I was like, oh, the graphics are amazing. It's so crazy. And I'd spend hours just flying in space and, you know, doing all sorts of stuff.
Duke Nukem was another one too.
Which one?
Oh, yeah.
Duke Nukem, because I think that was actually the first game where you could interact with your environment with doing things like, you know, pushing buttons that would have a cost somewhere else. I mean, it sounds silly, but things like turning on a faucet and having water come out, or, you know, the toilet flushing, or, you know, pressing a button and having a screen open somewhere. I think that was one of the first games that did that. Maybe the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And then there's Qbert.
Ah, Qbert. The intellectual games. I like those, too. Yeah. Oh, man, I mean, don't you wish that if you went back in time, don't you think you would save every video game and every console you ever had instead of selling them?
Just go get an emulator, my friend.
Well,
you can have every video game.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll have to go get an emulator. Oh, now all of this talk about these old video games makes me want to play all these old video games for the rest of time.
They're so good. And they just had replay value that a lot of games nowadays do not have.
Yeah, now they're so disposable.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because you think that they pump so much money into a game. How could it not be better? But it's just not a lot of 9 times out of 10. It's not better.
I agree. All right.
I also got to mention the Pokemon Game Boy game.
I was too old for Pokemon. So you're on your own.
I was at the target audience, the perfect age for that game, man.
You and your
Pokemon. I love that game.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It's just so great.
And the trading cards, for that matter. I was, like, into the Pokemon, my
friend. I don't think Jeremy and I were young enough.
You guys were too old for that, definitely.
Yeah. We were too old for Power Rangers, too, I think.
Yeah, that's sad because the Power Rangers were a hell of a lot of fun.
We had 90s X-Men. We were good.
Yeah.
Well, I had that, too.
All right.
You mean you had, like, She-Ra and He-Man and Voltron and all the things that I did not have. I was way too young for.
And we had Transformers and Visionaries and G.I. Joe.
Yep. You had Transformers. I had Beast Wars. So I think you guys won.
There's no Beast Wars.
We did win, but we also had GoBots, which, you know.
It was also terrible.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But I had Gargoyles.
I remember that show.
Oh, that's right. You did have Gargoyles. That's a good one.
Remember that. Oh, my God.
I feel a segue.
A segue. Gargoyles. Speaking of Gargoyles and all these animated shows, we're going to talk about in our last segment some of our favorite animated shows growing up. And we just named a lot of them, actually.
Yep. And the segment's over.
And the segment's over. Mediocrity.
And on to Hellboy.
And on to Hellboy. But we like cartoons, you know, like I like to say, like The Simpsons really just, you know, still around and making amazing shows. But stuff, you know, like Saturday morning cartoons. I watched DuckTales and Garfield and Transformers and G.I. Joe. And, oh, man, I was a huge He-Man fan. What about you guys?
Yeah, man, definitely. I'm going to try to stay away from the, like, the obvious things of, like, Batman animated series and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, there were – it was such, like – it was kind of an interesting time because you had a lot of cartoons that had certain vibes. Like, you had, you know, like, the Space Ghost cartoon back before it was, you know, like, the comedy show.
Yeah.
The parody that it kind of got made into. And that, you know, those Hanna-Barbera Saturday morning cartoons were awesome.
They were, like, Frankenstein and the Impossibles was amazing. And Johnny Quest. I love those old Hanna-Barbera stuff. There's, like, a nostalgic feel to all of that. And there was always, like, original music and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, that you had the Birdman cartoon. I mean, those were really awesome cartoons.
They were. Oh, I don't know. Not a lot of people saw this, but there was only one season. But there was a Chuck Norris cartoon called Karate Commandos. And it was like the most racist but funny cartoon ever. One of his sidekicks was like a sumo wrestler who just loved to eat.
Man, oh man.
It was, I mean, oh, it was so funny. And then, like, before each episode, there would be the real life Chuck Norris in his dojo talking to you, the kid, about, you know, like, stand up to bullying and be a good person and eat your vegetables. Oh my God. I still have it. I think I had to review it. I'm going to have to post that review again of Karate Commandos. It's so good. So, Atterbury, any other ones that you haven't mentioned yet?
I was this is definitely something you guys were too old for, I think, but I was a big fan of the Nickelodeon shows.
Oh, I loved Rocco's Modern Life and Rugrats and all
that. Okay, stuff. Good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I loved all that stuff. Like Doug,
oh,
Rugrats,
yeah.
Rocco's Modern Life, Ren and Stimpy, all those types of shows. Those were so much fun.
We have to mention that a certain sibling of one of us on the podcast very much resembled Doug growing up.
I also got to mention Ariel Monsters. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Oh, Ariel Monsters. I remember that.
Yeah, that one was just wonderfully disturbed.
Yeah, I remember those were like the shows. Like Ren and Stimpy like pushed the bounds for sure and like Beavis and Butthead. But like, Oh, Rocko's Modern Life. I loved all that stuff. All right.
Yeah, so those were my favorites.
Some good
and
cartoons.
Of course, things the ones we already mentioned.
Yes. But moving on to our last segment, we got to talk about Hellboy. Which I'm very upset about, I think. I don't know. Because Guillermo del Toro and Ron Perlman are Hellboy. That's them. Mignola.
They are not Hellboy.
Mike Mignola, Ron Perlman.
Mignola's Hellboy. Anything else is just peripheral.
But del Toro really captured everything you wanted in Hellboy. So did Ron Perlman. And they had a meeting recently, and they all decided they're not going to do it. But that didn't stop the studio, so now we're getting a revamped Hellboy with David Harbour, who was the sheriff in the recent Stranger Things TV show. He's been in tons of other things, but he's going to play Hellboy now. And who's directing this again?
I don't know.
I don't know. Someone Game of Thrones-ish or something?
I'm trying to remember who it was. I got to look this up now. but what do y'all think about this? What do y'all think about... this new Hellboy news.
Bring it on.
Yep.
I'm super into it.
Yeah, I'm ready. And it's going to be rated R. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like dark and gruesome, and I'm completely up for the ride.
All right. Yep.
It's going to be great.
Neil Marshall is directing it. That's right. I couldn't remember. And y'all know what Neil Marshall did, right?
Nope.
He did The Descent, he did Dog Soldiers, he did Doomsday and Centurion.
Those are all really good movies. Are you not excited about it? Really?
No, I like Neil Marshall a lot. Descent and Dog Soldiers are crazy good. Centurion was terrible, but he also did...
Oh, you really think Centurion's terrible? I enjoyed that movie.
You would enjoy that movie. but he also directed some TV shows such as, Jeremy said, Game of Thrones, Black Sails, Constantine, Hannibal, and Westworld. So, I mean...
Some pretty seriously good shows.
Yeah.
So he is attached to direct the Hellboy reboot, which is weird because he's also rumored to direct the second King or Kong Skull Island sequel, and he is filming the Lost in Space TV series. So who knows if he'll keep on, but if he does, I mean, I'm happy about this, but there was something about those Del Toro Hellboys that I love because they were PG-13, they were silly, and they had a comedic element to it. Now, do I really want a very dark, rated R, gruesome Hellboy? I don't know. I'll have to see when I, you know, watch it, but those are one of the things I really liked about the two first films.
Well, I think we can appreciate the two Guillermo del Toro Hellboys for what they were, and also appreciate this next one for what it can be.
Well, and really, this the rated R thing just frees them up to be a little more kind of authentic with some of the subject matter that you have, you know, inside a Hellboy comic. Yeah. You know, there's only so far they can take it in a PG-13 movie, you know, and with how the rating systems work now, it's, you know, it's, it really just kind of frees them up. I mean, I don't think it's going to be super gory, you know, but it just, they got more room to play.
I mean, yeah, there's more than that, but I also hope that they don't go into like heavy CG stuff. I really like that Del Toro did a lot of like authentic practical effects. I hope they keep with that.
Well, if we look at like the movie like The Descent, I don't think there's any CG in The Descent.
Yeah, I mean,
that's completely practical effects in that one.
And as well as Dog Soldiers. Yeah, you're right. It's, let's hope so. Let's hope for the best.
I mean, and Hellboy is a lot like Deadpool. If, as long as you're loyal to the source material, which is what works so well because that book's been around for so long, it's like, you know, you really almost can't go wrong. Mm. You just got to kind of keep the look, keep the vibe. You know, the humor that you like in the movie came from the comic. It's all built in there.
Yeah. No, I hope they – I just hope they don't, like, try to do, like, a much darker one that is void of any humor. So, like, you know, like the DC universe. So let's hope.
Yeah, no, I think as long as they got the source material, you'll be good. You'll be happy.
All right. All right.
And well, they don't give it to Zack Snyder.
Don't yeah. give – no. They're not. It's going Neil Marshall, so that's good. Well, all right. That wraps up our 39th episode of Media Ocrity. And I think next week we're coming back with my second attempt at a Star Wars trivia game. I'm going to try to answer more than 2.5 questions. Right.
Revenge of the Kluger.
I'm going to try my best. But that will be next week. It'll be fun. But thanks, guys. Jonathan Atterbury, Jeremy Magert, Brian Kluger. Go to iTunes and subscribe to the Multimedia Men podcast where you can get Mediaocrity and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are Mediaocrity. It's fun, right?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Not bad.
It's not bad.
I mean, we're having fun. I don't know how much fun the audience is having.
Well, all right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. See y'all later.